Hello, this is Mary, and I'll be reading selections from the Pantograph for Monday, September 7th, 2027. Happy Labor Day. From the front page of the paper, commentary. Parade celebrates workers' solidarity. Annual Labor Day event steps off downtown, ends in Miller Park. By Jason Pascal. On September 11th, we'll mark 132 years of Labor Day as a national holiday. For some folks, it's an extended weekend, cookouts, and relaxation. We invite the community to join us at 10 a.m. Monday for Bloomington's Labor Day Parade, from downtown to Miller Park. Our Labor Day Parade is a festive event, and I'm so proud of our parade. Our community's unions march, interspersed with high school bands, community organizations, and vote-seeking politicians. The sidewalks are jam-packed, and everyone receives a rousing reception as the parade winds through Bloomington's West Side, working-class neighborhoods. As the nation marks the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, our parade theme is Solidarity for the Next 250. It's our working people's day to shine. In a celebrity-fixated culture, the letter carrier, electrician, custodian, and baker are cheered and applauded. People who clock in daily and do the job without any glory are honored on Labor Day. It's a reminder that our society works because people work. The lights flip on, the toilet flushes, the mail arrives, and the waiting bus keeps our society functioning. Without workers' commitment, our world would quickly fall apart. Unions provide the united strength to win fairness and dignity on the job, allowing people to hold their heads high. On September 5, 1882, when the New York City workers staged the first Labor Day, it was a protest, with workers taking to the streets, demanding recognition. The 12-hour-day, 6-day-a-week work world was the norm, with abhorrent safety conditions and low wages. Workers stood up, and the Labor Day movement spread across the nation. Illinois was 3 years ahead of the holiday's 1894 federal recognition. Our first Bloomington Labor Day parade marched on September 7, 1891, from downtown to Franklin Park, where Adlai Stevenson I addressed the 700 participants. Labor Day should be our roots day. We should remember the prior generations that often risked their life for an 8-hour day and a pay raise. When workers strike, those old spirits are resurrected. An injury to one is an injury to all. As people walk the line and risk their livelihoods, holding out for one more day, seeking decency. AFSCME Local 1110 workers stood firm for their rights this past spring at Illinois State University, teaching all of us a positive lesson. Our economy is increasingly described as a K economy, one segment growing richer daily, many working people on a downward spiral. The solution is concerted action and unity on the job and at election time, reminding our society that the rich get richer is not written in unbreakable stone, but only if we sing a new song and reconstruct our priorities. Celebrate, but reflect on where we started, and dare to envision a different, more fair world. Jason Pascal is the president of the Bloomington and Normal Trades and Labor Assembly, AFL-CIO, and a member of Laborers International Union of North America, Local 362. Also from the front page, we will never forget 9/11/01, when we came together. Residents remember unity that emerged from 9/11 tragedy. By D. Jack Alkery. Bloomington. The September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks united Americans like nothing else in the nation's history. But 25 years later, some local residents say they want some of that unity to return. On September 11, 2001, 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists hijacked four U.S. passenger airplanes, crashing two into the World Trade Center's North and South Towers, and one into the Pentagon. The fourth went down in Pennsylvania, when passengers and crew members fought back. About 3,000 died directly, and thousands were injured or died of their injuries. The days that followed saw a nationwide outpouring of pain and grief, but also national unity, determination, patriotism, and volunteerism. Now, a quarter century later, those bonds of unity have thinned considerably for some. The Pantograph asked people at the farmers market Saturday in downtown Bloomington what they thought. "It's a shame when a massive tragedy brings you all together, but that's kind of where we were at," said Bloomington's Priscilla France. "Now, I think there's a lot of division. I think there's a lot of mistrust. Honestly, a lot of it, I think, is the media," she added. "A lot of television, what people see and what they read, what they take in. And since everybody's glued to the internet, you know, that's what they're ingesting." "Social media is not helping," said Chad Lomach. "Like all the algorithms that are pushing everybody to have that extreme view rather than the connectiveness that we used to have." "Longing for such unity is conflicting for Erica Areola because of what brought it along, she said. "It was a very sad moment, but it was also a moment that we all came together. And today we are so far apart," she said. "So yeah, it's very conflicting. Yes, I feel like as a nation, we are more divided than ever. It's sad. It's not what I want. Still, there is a heavy weight every time the anniversary comes up," Lomach said. "You still have it every time it comes around." "The trauma hits a little differently for folks who were adults at the time," said Angela Lomatz. "There's a heavy trauma behind it. The reality was we were never going to have buildings crash like that. And then it happened. And the reality that, oh my God, this can happen to us, here, now, was just all so much," she said. France said that the annual commemoration should serve to remind Americans to be vigilant. "Not that we need to be paranoid of occurrences like that, but we still need to be wary of some things," she said. "Younger people, like Antonia Manny, who was 5 at the time, feel like more energy needs to be put into securing the health and prosperity of the American people. Better policies, better laws put in place, not just based on feelings, based on what works for the people. And not just the rich people, but everybody," she said, "because we make up the majority, and we need to be supported. Until something changes, though, that division is seemingly going to continue to grow and grow. Frankly, I would expat if I could," Angela Lomach said. Turning to page 3 in the Monday, September 7th edition of the Pantograph, local and state news. McLaurin gets 104 years for 2021 murder by D. Jack Alkery, Bloomington. Osman McLaurin Jr. has been sentenced to 104 years for the 2021 murder of Jeffrey Rowley. Bloomington police announced the sentencing in a Friday press release, which stated that McLaurin was sentenced to 90 years for first-degree murder and a further 14 years for unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon. McLaurin, 29, was found guilty following a jury trial on June 12, 2026, and was sentenced on Thursday, September 3, 2026. Rowry, 30, was found unresponsive by Bloomington police on November 4, 2021, in the 800 block of East Washington Street. He had suffered multiple gunshot wounds and was pronounced dead at a hospital that evening. A warrant for McLaurin's arrest was issued in June 2023, and he was served while in jail on unrelated charges for an unrelated weapons conviction. Bloomington Police Chief Jamal Symington said in the release, "Our thoughts are with Mr. Rowery's family and loved ones. No sentence can undo their loss, but we hope this outcome provides some measure of closure." Livingston County. Coroner IDs Fairbury man as pickup semi-crash victim. By Drew Zimmerman. Fairbury. A 66-year-old Fairbury man died in a two-vehicle crash Friday morning just west of Cullum, Livingston County Coroner Michael Renner said. The crash happened at 7:33 a.m. on Illinois Route 116 at 3300 East Road, the coroner's office said in a news release. Traub had been driving a Ford Ranger pickup truck north when witnesses said he failed to stop at the intersection, according to the release. Traub's vehicle was struck by an eastbound semi. Traub was pronounced dead at the scene by Renner, and an autopsy is pending. The driver of the semi was not injured. The incident remains under investigation by the Illinois State Police and the Livingston County Coroner's Office. Assisting at the scene were the Livingston County Sheriff's Department and the Cullum and Sonoman Fire Departments. Roadwork begins after Labor Day in Twin Cities, Bloomington. Roadwork is set to begin on Tuesday morning, September 8th, in the Twin Cities, on Hershey Road in Bloomington, and West College Avenue in Normal. A lane reduction is scheduled for eastbound traffic on West College Avenue, between Adelaide Street and Delane Drive, for bridge repairs, with work expected to be completed by Monday, September 21st, pending weather conditions. Meanwhile, traffic along Hershey Road from north of Lehman Drive to GE Road will be impacted by curb and gutter repairs, storm sewer inlet work, pavement patching, and sidewalk and curb ramp improvements. There is no scheduled date for this work to be completed. Motorists in both locations are urged to use caution when traveling and use alternate routes when possible. Questions for the normal roadwork should be directed to Fred Zibden at 309-454-9705, while questions concerning work in Bloomington should go to the city's engineering department at 309-434-2980. LODA Team Hope Walk set for September 12th. LODA. The Illinois chapter of the Huntington's Disease Society of America will host the LODA Team Hope Walk next weekend. The event will take place at 8 a.m. on Saturday, September 12th, at Lakeview County County Club. I'm not sure if that's Country Club or if it's actually County Club. 147 East 200 North, LODA. Registration will begin at 7:30 p.m. All proceeds will support the Huntington Disease Society of America's mission to improve the lives of people affected by the disease and their families. Team Hope is HDSA's largest national grassroots funding-raising event, taking place in over 100 cities across the United States and raising over $21 million since its start in 2007. Thousands of families, friends, co-workers, neighbors, and communities walk together each year to support the mission, according to a news release. Register online or contact Samantha Cox at sjmccoy85@yahoo.com for more information. Recipe for Connection to kick off in Pontiac. Pontiac. University of Illinois Extension will host a Recipe for Connection program next week in Pontiac. The event will take place from 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, September 13th, at the Livingston County Extension Office at 1412 South Locust Street in Pontiac. The program is designed to be a fun, hands-on way for families to rediscover the value of sharing a meal together. Attendees will be able to prepare and share a meal together while while exploring simple ways to make mealtime a meaningful opportunity for conversation, connection, and family bonding, according to a news release. The program is for ages 8 and up, and the cost is $10 per family. The event is also a kickoff to a year-long family engagement initiative, so participants will receive a monthly newsletter featuring recipes and ideas to strengthen family connections at the dinner table, the news release said. To register or learn more, call 815-842-1776. Illinois Healthcare, primed to end obstetrical services at 3 hospitals. Company says it will centralize services at 2 other hospitals. By Lisa Schnecker, Chicago Tribune. Prime Healthcare plans to suspend obstetrical care at 3 of its Illinois hospitals, saying it will centralize the services at 2 of its other hospitals and invest in maternal health in the community. Prime is suspending OB services at St. Joseph Medical Center in Joliet, Mercy Medical Center in Aurora, and Resurrection Medical Center in Chicago, effective October 1st, Prime said in a news release and statement. Meanwhile, Prime plans to centralize and strengthen OB services at St. Mary of Nazareth Hospital in Chicago and Olympia Fields Hospital in suburban Olympia Fields. Concentrating maternity services at established centers like St. Mary's ensures the highest level of quality and patient safety, addressing maternal disparities, said Dr. Yavani Chawla, director of the Birthing Center at St. Mary of Nazareth, in the news release. Prime said in the news release that it also decided to suspend OB services at the other 3 hospitals because many years of financial distress, changes in ownership, declining birth rates, and volumes have made it impossible to ensure the very best quality of care for the patients served. Prime said the suspensions could be reversed if demands increase. About 75 full-time nurses will be affected by the change, according to a statement. Each of the nurses will be offered another position within Prime. Prime now has 331 open positions, including 11 open OB roles, according to the statements. Along with the changes, Prime said it will offer $1 million in grants for maternal health initiatives in its communities, and it will expand its work for providers in its communities to strengthen access to prenatal and postpartum care. The announcement represents the latest in a string of changes Prime has made since buying 8 Illinois hospitals last year from Ascension and purchasing a 9th Olympia Fields earlier this year. Prime is a for-profit company based in California. Previously, Prime suspended OB services at St. Mary's Hospital in Kankakee. Recently, Prime also asked the State Health Facilities and Review Board for permission to close the inpatient pediatrics unit at St. Joseph's Medical Center in Joliet. Many of Prime's changes have drawn criticism from nurses' unions and lawmakers. Nurses at St. Mary of Nazareth were already planning to go on a one-day strike later this week as they try to reach their first contract with Prime. The move to consolidate OB units also follows a trend of community hospitals closing units amid demographic shifts and as more patients opt to deliver at hospitals with major birthing centers. OB units are also not typically big money makers for hospitals. Increasingly, health systems with multiple hospitals are also consolidating certain medical services at individual hospitals to create centers of excellence rather than offering all services at all of their community hospitals. Hospital leaders say the idea is to provide higher quality care by concentrating certain specialists and services in one location where they can see more patients in need of those services. Some doctors and patients, however, have expressed concern that such consolidations force patients to drive farther for certain types of care, rather than having all types of care at their local hospital. David Gross, Senior Vice President of Government Relations and Communications for the Illinois Health and Hospital Association, said in a statement that hospitals across the state are facing serious financial challenges. In Prime Healthcare's specific circumstance, the health system is responding to demographic realities by preserving and improving critical services through consolidated regional delivery services, which has proven to achieve higher quality care and enhance patient safety, Gross said in the statement. With today's significant healthcare challenges and the devastating Medicaid cuts on the horizon, we know that difficult decisions will be necessary for many hospitals to remain viable going forward, Gross said. Farmer City Festival set for September 11th through 13th by Olivia Jacobs. Farmer City. The third annual Fall in Love with Farmer City event will take place September 11 through 13 on Main Street. The three-day mini-festival aims to bring people together, encourage visits to Farmer City, bring support for local businesses, and create simple and affordable fall fun for adults and children, according to a news release. New this year will be a sidewalk scarecrow contest and sidewalk chalk art. Scarecrow participants are invited to create and bring a scarecrow to display on Main Street. And they must check in at the Mischievous Monkeys gift shop with their scarecrow name to be officially entered. Visitors can pick up a People's Choice ballot at the store and vote for their favorite scarecrow. Scarecrows must be picked up between 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, September 13th. A winner will be announced at 4 p.m. on Sunday through the store and Farmer City Merchants Organization's Facebook groups. The Mischievous Monkeys will sponsor a free Build a Scarecrow from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday. That activity is open to both adults and children. For all 3 days, children, teenagers, adults, families, and groups are invited to add color to the sidewalks on Main Street. Participants are encouraged to bring their own chalk, but chalk will also be available at the gift shop. A free ham and beans dinner will also be served in front of the gift shop from 5 to 7 on Friday, September 11th, and from 3 to 5 on Saturday, September 12th. The Farmer City United Methodist Church will also provide free hot dogs from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. The Brew Mobile will be set up in downtown all 3 days as well, serving coffee, tea, fresh grade lemonade, and dirty sodas. Cash and card will be accepted. Participating businesses such as the Junkin Lady will have mums and pumpkins for sale on Friday and Saturday. Sweet Marie's She Shed will give out cookies, and the Mischievous Monkeys will host its fall open house. Customers who make a purchase at Mischievous Monkeys can also register for a chance to win a $100 floral bouquet. The vintage red Ford truck will also return again this year as the favorite fall photo spot, the news release said. Turning to page 6, national and world news. The Digest. At least 5 dead, 5 hurt in runway plane crash. At least 5 people died when an Amazon Prime Air cargo flight overran a runway and crashed while landing Sunday at Miami International Airport, prompting the closure of all runways and taxiways, local officials said. Prime Air Flight 7598 overran the airport's diagonal runway just before 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time and struck multiple vehicles on the ground, officials said during a news conference Sunday afternoon. Amazon and the Miami-Dade Aviation Department earlier confirmed that an incident occurred as the plane was trying to land. 5 people were also injured in the crash, including 3 who were in critical condition, officials said. North Korean leader boasts of new vessel. Seoul. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said the country's newest destroyer would be part of a nuclear response system and could deliver annihilating retaliatory strikes, state media KCNA reported, although it did not say whether the vessels would carry nuclear weapons. North Korea has accelerated efforts to modernize its navy as Kim pursues an expansion of the country's nuclear-capable forces. At a commissioning ceremony on Sunday, Kim said the new ship's deployment to the sea east of the Korean Peninsula sent a clear signal to North Korea's adversary. The time has come for us to exercise our sovereignty at sea and underwater, Kim said, according to KCNA. Indonesia. An eruption of Indonesia's Mount Anak, Krakatau, caused 8 airports to suspend flight operations Sunday, affecting hundreds of flights at Jakarta's main airport, after some school activities and fishing were halted. The international airport suspended flight operations until 11:59 p.m. due to volcanic ash, the airport posted. Nepal. Believing she died in Nepal's deadly floods, the family of Chandika Kumari started the ritual of mourning the elderly woman's death. 10 days later, rescuers found her alive inside her collapsed home in the devastated village, where she survived in a narrow pocket of air amid water and mud. Dark web. The FBI is investigating the potential theft and sale of millions of driver's licenses on the dark web. Digital scans of more than 153 million driver's licenses belonging to people in the United States and Canada were advertised last week on the site Nexus. News of the breach was first reported by former Washington Post journalist Brian Krebs, a cybersecurity expert. Lebanon. Israeli strikes killed 7 people, including 2 women, Sunday in southern Lebanon, the Lebanese health ministry said, as Israel retaliated for what it said were Hezbollah drone attacks in areas occupied by its troops. Also on Sunday, an Israeli strike killed a man and his 8-year-old daughter in the Gaza Strip, health officials said. Trump renews court bid to restrict mail-in voting. Reuters. The Trump administration renewed its appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court on Sunday to allow a plan that could limit mail-in ballots ahead of November's congressional elections after a federal judge blocked those restrictions last week. Lawyers for the Trump administration filed an emergency application to the nation's highest court to allow the U.S. Postal Service to implement a rule restricting mail-in voting, even as some U.S. states have already started sending out postal ballots ahead of the November 3rd midterm elections. On Friday, Boston-based U.S. District Judge Indira Talwani extended a ban preventing the new rule from taking place. The final decision on whether the administration's mail-in voting restrictions can proceed likely now rests with the Supreme Court. Solicitor General John Sauer, representing the Trump administration, urged the Supreme Court to allow the rule to immediately take effect, warning that each day the lower court's injunction remains in place risks sowing confusion and chaos as more states issue mail ballots. Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson set a deadline of Wednesday for responses to the Trump administration's request. The USPS issued its rule to implement an executive order that Donald Trump signed in March. Trump has spent years calling for restrictions on voting by mail amid his false claims that his 2020 presidential election defeat was the result of widespread voter fraud. President Trump also votes by mail every election. We'll take a short break and return with the second 30 minutes of the Pantograph for September Monday, September 7th, 2026. Please stay tuned.